Well, I'd like to take us into a new subject, and I the Lord willing, it's going to be a series of things. What I want to do, what I believe the Lord has called this word into my mind, and it's the word, the beast system. For those of you that didn't see, there were several things in the news magazines that caught my attention. Pardon me if I already showed you these. The first one was this. It's a picture of the Pope. And you see what it says? The New Roman Empire. And it's taken me to studying not only in the book of Daniel, but in Revelation, what is the place of this Roman Empire? Okay, and what is all this about? And this is the world prophets, shall we say, proclaiming their new world order and how their new world order is going to come to pass. Okay. And these people that publish these magazines, these people that write these articles and put these covers on, they are giving you a message from the world system. They are the ones, they are connected to some hidden, unseen, that we don't know who they are, people that are calling the shots behind the scenes, people who are the movers and shakers, people who are the economy people. So this came out, and the interesting thing about this is that this picture did not appear in the United States issue of the Time magazine. It did not. Where I came upon this picture is Rita and I were with Jim and Joanne, and we were flying from Uganda to Ethiopia on an airplane. And it was the middle of the night. It was a horrible, I should never have got on that horrible flight. But it was apparently the only one that was available. And what did we leave at midnight or something and arrived at 4 a.m. or I don't know what it was, some horrible hour like that. And it was a long flight because they went over to Rwanda first and then up to Uganda. But on the airplane, Jim was sitting a couple of rows behind me, and I heard him ask the stewardess, "You got anything for me to read?" And she brought this to him. This came from over there in the Mideast. And when Jim got done, I said, "Jim, can I have that magazine when you get done with it?" And I see, now I get this magazine. Pardon me, I don't believe in Time magazine, but I want to know what they're up to. And I get it, it's so cheap, $20 a year, some ridiculous price because, I don't know, because I'm old or something, they give me a good deal. So I thought, well, I'll go home, and when this date, September 28, comes, I'm going to see what it says. And the September 28 issue came, and they had a picture of Bernie Sanders on the front.
Did they have the article on it?
But the article was in it. The article was in it. And what they're showing here is in Cuba, millions of people, whatever, hundreds of thousands, whatever, gathering to hear their God. It's what it amounts to. So I thought, isn't that interesting? That they would publish this abroad, this picture, but they wouldn't put this picture here. Now, the next issue, they had the Pope's picture, but it was a different article. They had his visit to America. So they're paying, the world press is paying a lot of attention to this man. Okay? The next thing that happened, you must not have been here when I showed these pictures. The next one that happened was this one. This is the October 19 issue. And it says Exodus. And it was when I was in Europe that the Lord began to stir me with the word invasion. Okay? What they say in here, they show the pictures of... I'm not going to preach on this. I've already done this. It's the locust. The Lord spoke locust to me, remember? And here it is, a father with a little baby on his shoulders. Lots of children running along behind here. Here's a whole lot of children. And they call them refugees. They call them refugees. The article calls them refugees. Then they call them migrants. And the word the Lord gave me is invasion. And Germany, they're after Germany and Sweden, because Germany and Sweden have a good welfare system. Okay? So Europe is going to be dramatically changed. They say that 1 million have come across already this past year. This next year, it'll probably slow down a little over the winter because the travel is more difficult. One of the marks, Levine or somebody that substituted for Rush one day, he said, I was in Sweden on the train, and he said, I'm telling you, they are not families that are coming there. They are young Muslim men that are coming, men who are fit to fight. If they're having trouble, they should be at home fighting the ISIS at home, not coming over here. Yeah, you probably heard it too. And Gaddafi, I'm repeating things that I've already said. Pardon me if you didn't hear me. Gaddafi prophesied, we'll talk about a world devil prophet. The devil has his prophecies too, you know. With the devil's unction, Gaddafi prophesied before he died, we will go into Europe, we will multiply faster than you will, and we will take you over without having to fire a shot. Well, they're firing a lot of shots. But this is what these young Muslims are saying now. Somebody showed me a YouTube or something where they were bragging that we're going to come in, and you people only have 2 children, we're going to have 6, 7, 8 children, and you have only 1 wife, we can have 4 wives, and we're going to produce more children, and in 1 more generation, we're going to outnumber you, and we're going to take you over. And that's the way democracy works. They'll outnumber you. Now, I just heard, and somebody verified it, Christina, I believe, verified what I was saying, because they're in the Czech Republic. They know what's going on in Europe over there. And she and Martin were listening to me just a couple days ago. I started to talk about the beast. And I heard that the cultural thing is so shockingly different from these Mideastern Muslim people from the culture of Europe. These men in Sweden, now they are requiring them to go to classes so that they learn not to rape the Swedish girls. These girls in Sweden, they want to run around with their shorts and the way they dress, you know, provocative, show a little flesh here, a little flesh there. And these Muslim men think they're prostitutes or something, and they can take them and do anything they want with them. And they're used to all women have to be covered head to toe with a little slit for their eyes, maybe. And that's the way they regard women. And they have to have classes for them now to teach them this is what the rules of rape are all about. I'm sorry to have to use that ugly word, but that's what it's all about. And why in the world are our world governments so dense that they're opening their doors? What has happened to the 2 most powerful leaders of the free world, America and Germany, that they are doing this?
Did Because they love not the truth.
They love not the truth, all right.
It's a delusion.
Yeah.
Delusion.
Now, in view of the prophetic nature of the devil, he has his... I just took the cover of this one. This is December 7. You probably can't read it, but the only thing it says on here is World War ISIS. Are they announcing? Is this an announcement? Sure it is. This magazine is supposedly in the know on the world governments and the world system. They are telling us that we are going to have World War ISIS. And in the next article, which I have lost the little paper, I'll bring it next week and read it to you, the editorial on what's ahead for 2016. And in that article, and I'll read you the detail next time, I lost my papers, I'm sorry, I didn't even bring my notes today, so you'll have to put up with me winging it. Where was I going? Oh, the year ahead. And they were talking about the G7, the seven big governments that set the policy. And in this article, the man was saying, it's G0. There is no world leader anymore. And he was basically crying that there needs to be a world leader on the scene, and there's no world leader anymore. He's talking about how Obama is not a world leader, and China is not taking the place, and Putin is not really the world leader. You know, nobody's really stepping up to the plate to be the leader. And he's saying, basically, what is it going to take to bring forth such a person? And he listed, I mean, he could have been preaching my word. He said it'll take a disaster. It could be a public health disaster, an Ebola type. It could be an environmental disaster. It could be an economic meltdown. It could be a major war. Something that is so terrifying that the world is going to rise up and say, hey, and a leader will step up. Isn't this a prediction of the Antichrist? The man of sin. They're saying, they didn't call him the man of sin. They didn't call him the Antichrist. They're just saying, the world needs a leader. Now, all of this has caused me to say, I need to know. I mean, I've read all these images and visions that Daniel and John had of these beasts that are rising up. I need to know, Lord, what does this mean? What is all this? And I have determined that I don't understand anywhere near as much as I thought I did of these prophetic books. All right? Can we go through it a little at a time and begin to discover what God is saying? Okay? I want to go to the second chapter of Daniel, and I want to just read a little bit of what Daniel is saying here. The king, basically, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, okay? And I'll just tell a little bit of it first. He had a dream, and he woke up and he couldn't remember the dream. But he knew enough that the dream was very terrifying to him. It was very troubling. How many of you wake up, you've had a dream, and you can't remember the dream? Yeah, it happens to me most of the time. Most of the dreams aren't worth remembering. It's just some stupid thing and I'm wandering around or whatever. Not worth remembering. Somehow I believe that if it's worth remembering, God puts it in me so strong that I can't forget it. All right, those are the kind I remember. But this king, this wicked king, by the way, he was not a righteous man. He had this dream. And he called all his soothsayers and Chaldeans and what have you, magicians, people that were wise. And he said, I had a dream, and I want you to tell me what the dream was, and then tell me what the dream means. Well, his advisors said, well, O king, this is impossible. Nobody has ever done a thing like this before. We can't tell you what you dreamed. You tell us what your dream is, and we'll tell you what it means. And the king was very angry. In fact, he was so angry that he said, all right, I'm going to have you all killed. You either tell me the dream, or I'm going to have the soldiers take all your heads off. Whatever means it was. With a sword, I'm sure. And word got to Daniel that the king was going to do that. And Daniel, of course, was numbered among the so-called wise men. I don't know that he was a soothsayer or anything like that, but he was a wise man. And so Daniel, let me read in verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Boy, now there's a man that had confidence in God. Hello. Listen, we're going to be put in situations that you've never been put in before. I keep thinking, what would you have done if you had been in, was it Oregon or somewhere out there, where the guy comes in with a gun and says, all right, I want all the Christians. Who's a Christian? Bam. Who's a Christian? Bam. What would you do?
I'm leaving the world. I'm going to be with the world.
Well, you know what I would do first? I'm going to try the Lord. I'm going to first, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. You're not going to do this. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb. And I try to say that all before he could get a shot off. All right? I believe if I'm in the place that I ought to be, that the power of the Word of God would stop the man. All right? Now, maybe I'm not in that place now. But when these end times come, I hope and expect and believe that I'm going to be of that two witness company, that if any man shall try to harm them, something comes out of their mouth, which is going to be words, stops them, and they're even going to die in trying to do it. Okay? I'm not saying that these Christians that have been shot and beheaded and what have you are not true Christians. I believe they are. And you know what? I'm reading the Word of God. I'm reading that in the days ahead there are going to be a lot of Christians that are going to be martyred. And you know that God is going to allow the outer court to be destroyed. All right? We get that settled. I don't want to be part of the outer court church. And this is one of the things that we are preaching a holy place message in this fellowship. We are not preaching an outer court. I don't have any problem with preaching an outer court message. Okay, salvation, baptism, those are basic things. But I'm not going to make my career on just preaching outer court, outer court, outer court. I believe that God has given us a word for a holy place people. All right, now getting back to Daniel. Daniel is going to be destroyed unless he's walking, shall we say, as a holy place person. Amen? So, Arioch, verse 25, brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. All right? So the dream that that Daniel interpreted, didn't it started with the days of Nebuchadnezzar, but the dream took everything right down to the latter days. Now, if we are not in the latter days, I don't know when the latter days are. They have to be our days. They have to be our time. Amen? So, now let me give the interpretation here. And he saw the image, okay? He saw the verse 31. He saw an image. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was gold, the beast, his breast, and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and clay and brass and silver and gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, there's the prophecy. There's the word, there's the prophecy. So, we come here, and let me, I'm not an artist. Anybody want to do a better job? No volunteers?
But they're asleep.
Okay. All right, so here's an image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. How do you make a head? Like this? All right. Shoulders, I guess his arms are out. Chest, belt, somewhere below here, legs, and feet. I'll make feet better this time. Actually, there's toes here. I need to make these as toes. Okay. So, this is the image. Well, I don't know if he's smiling. Maybe he's just... So now let's see what Daniel said about this. He says, verse 37, Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for God of heaven hath given thee the kingdom, power, strength, and glory. He says, Thou art the head of gold. All right. So the head was gold, right? Head was gold. And gold was what? What empire? Babylon. So this was gold. The chest, the upper torso, was silver. And what did he say about that? You got the verse. Go ahead and read it.
And after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the earth.
All right, let's stop right there for a minute. So we know that the second kingdom was what? Persia. We'll call it Persia, but it was actually the Medes and the Persians. And Persia is what country today? Iran. What are we hearing about Iran lately? Iran is becoming a very, very troublesome place. Between Israel and whoever, they've been able to drive them back and prevent them from coming into a nuclear bomb. But now the big world leaders, including our very wise president, etc., have given them now a 10-year window in which they can produce a bomb, and all the billion of dollars that have been held back from them as what's the word here? sanctions. Sanctions against them are now going to be all released to them. And guess what they're going to do with this $1 billion that they're going to get? They're going to crank up those centrifuges full speed, and they're going to produce their bomb. And we say we're going to stop them. We say we're going to do this. You know the truth. Nobody's going to stop them now. They're going to do what they want. And just to prove how tough they were, when we had our naval warships in the Strait of Hormuz, they shot a missile across the bow, just to prove that they're testing missiles now. So we can say, oh, naughty, you shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. It was all words. They're going to do what they want to do now. Okay, so Persia is rising up, but it's not going to be the Silver Empire again. And by the way, Persia is the Medes and the Persians. Actually, Babylon is also part of Iran, but it wasn't the whole Iran. This silver, the Persian Empire, was really a united Iran that came and brought them all together. All right, then after this...
Babylon's Iraq.
Well, I looked it up. It's mostly Iran. Okay. It goes down there, but it does include some of Iraq, too. Yeah. The borders weren't exactly what they are today. Yeah, they've. I mean, with all these wars, the powers to be chopped them all up and said, "Well, here's what the country's going to be. Here's going to be your border and such and such." All right. So the next one was what? The next one was brass, right? So that would include this area right here, the lower abdomen, and that would be brass. And that's called the thighs, or the, that would be the thigh area, I guess. And the brass was whom? Greece. And then finally, the legs were made of iron. And what do we know to be the Iron Empire? Is the Roman Empire, right? And remember, the Time magazine here says, New Roman Empire. Empire, new Roman Empire. So we've got Persia, we've got Greece coming back on the scene. So this would be Rome. I don't think we're going to see much of Greece. They're in pretty bad shape right now, financially. They can't pay their bills. And then the final part of this Roman Empire was the toes. Okay? And first of all, how many toes are there?
Ten.
There's 10 toes. And what were the toes made out of?
Iron and clay.
Iron and clay mixed together. Now, iron speaks of what? What kind of strength? Yeah. What kind of rule did the Romans have? Iron fist. I mean, when the way they dealt with their provinces, if there was an uprising, they just come in and start crucifying people. They dealt that way with Israel several times. They'd have the streets just lined with people crucified, and you defy Rome, this is what's going to happen. They dealt with an iron fist. Okay.
Instruments of iron too.
Instruments of iron. Yes, it was the Iron Age. If you want to say. Now, when you go clay is what? Clay speaks of humanity, right? So, when you get humanity mixed in with the government, what do you call it?
Democracy.
Yeah, so now this new Roman Empire that's coming in the very last of days is going to be some kind of a democracy mixed with law. And what happens when in the natural, when you try to mix clay with iron, it doesn't mix well. You know, when you know what China is made out of? China plates and what have you, cups. It's made out of clay that's been heated, fired clay. And you know that that is very fragile and brittle, and it breaks up very easily. So we have a picture of this final world empire as far as this is concerned. Now, the good news here, amen, is let me read in verse 42, start in verse 40, okay? And that's where Larry left off. It says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise." So this was the nature of the Roman Empire. Nobody stands in our way. We'll send our generals. I mean, look at what Vespasian did in the siege against Jerusalem. And he didn't finish the job. Titus, his son, finished the job, and they just annihilated Jerusalem. And this is basically the thing that Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you can see what's coming. I could cover you, I could shelter you. In other words, I could prevent all this from happening if you would turn to me. But you would not. And henceforth your house is left unto you desolate. There shall not be one stone left upon another." Whether that was figurative or natural, I think it was both. There might have been a couple of stones left on top of each other, but probably ones that they couldn't see. Anyway, they tore the whole thing apart. This is Rome. All right, he breaketh in pieces. Now, whereas, verse 41, "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." Okay? Now, verse 43, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." What's the UN trying to do? Trying to put people together that do not cleave together. They're trying to put tribes together. Tribes that hate one another. By the way, did you hear the news this morning of the Mideast? Did you hear about from Arabia? Arabia had the largest mass execution that they have ever had, I guess. 47 people killed. They didn't say how they were killed. I don't know if they were beheaded or shot or what they were. And the Iran is vowing revenge.
Well, they've already seized the
embassy in Iran. Yes, they've set it on fire. I know that much. Through Molotov cocktails and everything. So what are we having here? We're having the Sunnis versus the Shiites, and they're fighting one another. And the Muslim world is at war with each other. And it isn't just two factions. There's as many as four, maybe more. Hezbollah is up in arms, and I don't understand what all the meaning of some of these names are, but I know that they do not cleave together. All right, whatever this final world empire is, it isn't going to hold together. Okay? It says, "In the days of these kings," verse 44, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." Hallelujah! Listen, isn't this good news? Are we going to see the beginning of this year? I don't have the answer, but I believe the things are coming into place that are going to set up these empires, okay? The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. What's that mean? Not be left to other people. Who are other people? They're going to be left to the world, the UN and the big bankers and the big empires. No, the kingdom of God is not going to be in their hands. Hallelujah. Amen. But it what? But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Tell me what that means. A stone cut without hands. That means that God is going to cut out a stone of His people. But it isn't going to be the hand of man that's going to do it. It's not going to be the big name television evangelist that's going to put that thing together. It isn't going to be Billy Graham. It isn't going to be anybody like that. Or who was the politician down there from Virginia that wanted to run for president, Larry? It isn't going to be a Pat Robertson. And there's other big names. It isn't going to be a big name man. It isn't going to be the hand of man that's going to do this. Amen? It isn't going to be my name, your name, or any man's name. But this stone is going to be made up of people like us. We are going to be part of that stone. We're not going to be an individual pebble. It's not a little pebble that's going to roll down the mountain and hit that thing. It's going to be a big stone cut out of the mountain, and it's going to smash that image right there. Smash that image, break it to smithereens, and then what? For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. Amen? All right, so there's the first image. Now, can I erase this? Of course I can.
Wouldn't that stone be Christ himself? Right, not people.
Yes, it's Christ and those that are of Christ. Yeah. Christ is already he's already the chief cornerstone, but the image implies that it's being formed in the last days. Yeah. So he's the key of that stone, and he's the without hands that cut it out.
Yeah.
It's Christ that's cutting this thing out. And you know, how many of you know that God is cutting away at you? So that we are going to be line upon line, you know, that we're going to be perfectly fit into the body of Christ. If you don't fit, the chisel of God goes after you, chips away at a piece here, a piece there, so that you fit in to the place where you belong. Amen? God wants you in your place, brethren. He doesn't want you out there laying in the back 40 somewhere, a stone forgotten. No, He wants you part of the building. The temple of God. We're talking about a temple that's not made with natural man's hands. What did God say to Solomon? How did he say it? Considering the earth is my footstool and the heavens are my throne. Am I getting it right? What kind of a house can you build for me? Do you remember what he said to Solomon when the temple was? I heard somebody just say it the other day. Of course, I've been places where you haven't been. Amen. What kind of a house can you build for me? So this is the image of that stone cut without hands. I remember we brought that word here one time and Brother Patsy Cardata was here that day, I remember. Had some things to say about it. All right, let's move on, because I might be able to get into the second... We'll at least get started with a second image. Or actually, it's not an image. Well, it's a beast. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 7. Okay? Now, let me read this. I'll read it first, and then we'll get into it. In chapter 7 of Daniel, in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night. In other words, he's having a dream. And behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. What does that mean? What's the understanding? What's the great sea? Humanity. It's the world. Amen? This many waters is, by the way, is where the great harlot sits. The Pope, as head of the Roman Catholic Church, she sits on many waters, great sea. The waters are the people of the world. Amen. Unredeemed people. And I'm not saying 100% Catholics are unredeemed, but basically the message is not a word of salvation, redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ only. It's a different message. All right. So, it says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Now, they were all different. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So let me make the list here. There were four beasts. All right. The first was what? A lion. And what else about it? Oh, it had four wings. What kind of wings?
Eagles.
Eagle. And stood upright, right? Upright. And it had a man's heart. That's an unusual beast, isn't it? All right. Let's see what the second one was. Where are we? Okay, verse 5. And I beheld another beast, a second like a bear. And it raised itself up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. So number two was a bear and had three ribs in its mouth. Okay. The third beast, verse 7, and after this I saw in the night vision, to behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Did it say this thing had four heads? Somewhere I had the... 10 horns. No, 10 horns. All right, so let me write this. This is a beast that looked like what? A leopard. Oh, wait a minute. The leopard. All right, I'm sorry. I mixed two of them together. Verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Okay. This was the leopard. Leopard. And the leopard had what?
Four wings.
Four wings. And how many heads?
Four
wings of a fowl. And how many heads?
Four
heads. But it didn't say anything about horns, did it? All right. So then on number four, which I already read, and this one, what did this one look like?
Dreadful and terrible.
Dreadful and terrible. So we don't know really what it looked like.
Strong exceedingly.
Strong.
Great iron teeth.
Yeah, so let's just put dreadful. And let's say that it had 10 what? Horns? And it had one little horn. One little horn. Okay. So here again we see a progression, a historical progression in some kind of an order. Okay? Now, there's a traditional interpretation of this, and I'm going to give you what I believe to be a modern interpretation of this. Okay? First of all, let me define some of these words, okay? Because these words are defined in the Bible. First of all, what is a horn? What are horns? No, they're, what I mean is men. Horns are men, okay? If you read it, it defines it both in Daniel and in Revelation. The horns are men, kings, men, kings. Okay? That's what a horn is. So when you find in this beast there were 10 horns, it means there were 10 kings that made this thing up. And then it means that there was another king that came up that displaced 3 of them, which took it down to 7, but adding himself, it became 8. So instead of a G7, now we have a G8, if you want to talk about some kind of world government. This is end times now, way down here. All right, horns are men. What else do we have here? We have heads, right? And what are heads? Heads are nations, right? And they also says that they're mountains. I believe in Revelation it says that they're 10 mountains. So a great mountain is a great empire. It's a great nation. And so we have these heads. So here's a beast that had four, that was made up of 4 nations, shall we say. Okay, or that became 4 nations. Another definition here is crowns. We didn't find any crowns here. But over in Revelation, we're going to find crowns. And what are crowns? My understanding of what a crown is, and by the way, the word that is used in these description of beasts is the crown is a diadem. And a diadem, a crown, is a piece of gold that goes around the head and completely covers the head, which is a traditional, what we traditionally think of as a crown. However, there are 3 words in the Bible that are translated as crown. Chaplet and the one that's made up of the leaves. What's the word? Garland. Garland and chaplet, yeah. Now, the woman in Revelation 12, she's not wearing a diadem. Her crown of 12 stars is different. It's not like these beasts are wearing. It's not like these government people are wearing. Okay? She has a garland, I believe. Okay, and it's a recognition for an honor that she's been an overcomer, that type of thing. These kind of crowns, I'm going to say, are positions or titles. Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War, whatever. That's what these crowns are. In other words, if If you're wearing a crown, it says that you have this title and this position. Okay, now, let me just stop for a minute. And what is the traditional interpretation of the lion, the bear, the leopard, and this one here? Traditional. Babylon, right? And the bear.
Media-Persia.
And the leopard would be Greece. And by the way, let me say that, yes, it does fit the template here, because Alexander the Great he moved like a leopard. He went wildly and very fast.
The wings, four wings of the fall.
Yeah.
Indicate swift movement.
Swift movement.
Babylon was very swift in conquering too.
Yeah, they were swift also with their eagle wings. And four heads. The kingdom of Alexander broke into four pieces under his four generals. Okay, so that fits. The template fits. And then, of course, down here would be Rome again. But now I want to suggest a modern interpretation. This would be the traditional. And see if it matches. This would be what I call a modern. And you know, why do I say there could be another interpretation? Because the prophetic word is always alive. It never goes out of vogue. There's layers of interpretation. We can go back into the Old Testament and say, well, the prophet prophesied thus and thus. It's already happened. We don't need to worry about it. It's all past history. No, it isn't. It's saying something about our day as well. And there's another layer of interpretation for it.
The theological term is called the law of double fulfillment.
Well, it could be even triple. All right, for an example, the coming of Elijah.
Yeah.
All right, and when the scribes said, or when the disciples said, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? What did Jesus say? And why were they asking the question? Because in Malachi it says, behold, I will send Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And Jesus said, well, Elijah already has come. So first of all, you have Elijah, the natural man. And then he said, John the Baptist is Elijah. So there it is, it's fulfilled again, but his name isn't Elijah. And then Jesus said, but Elijah will come. Amen? So at the time of Jesus, it's Elijah past, present, and future. There's another Elijah power that is coming. So there's another fulfillment of Elijah shall come. So it wasn't just double.
Yeah, but traditional theologians don't get into the spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
They just go the material or the physical, and then they say it also has end time fulfillment.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm saying spiritual is because Jesus spiritualized it. And he said...
Natural spiritual fullness.
Natural spiritual fullness, yeah, we could say it that way too. This is a perfect example of natural spiritual and fullness. Okay? Now, here's a possibility of the lion. Okay? Can we think possibly of Great Britain as being a lion? How many of you know that the lion is the symbol of Great Britain?
Coat of arms.
Okay, it's in their coat of arms. And it says that he watched until the wings of the eagle were plucked off. Well, what wings of the eagle have been plucked off of Great Britain? Let's say within the last several hundred years.
USA.
The U.S., and our symbol is the eagle, is it not? So the eagle's wings have been plucked off of the lion. All right, now, in considering the sons of the lion, or the wings, we could consider Canada, we could consider Australia. The English-speaking empire was pulled off of Great Britain. And they are now United Kingdom. They're not called Great Britain anymore. They're not as great as they used to be. Pardon me, British people, but I guess that's the new term. The wings have been pulled off. And now it's also interesting that this lion became somewhat not of a beast. It wasn't quite as beastly as some of the others. This lion didn't walk on all fours anymore. This lion stood up like, it says it compared it to a man. It stood upright like a man, and it had the heart of a man. Now, what is unusual about that? What is unusual about the history of Great Britain insofar as having the heart of a man?
They restored Israel to their homeland.
All right, a number of things that they did. Yeah, they did. They were positive toward Israel, as well as the U.S. and the British. Those who were part of the British Empire, they have been very supportive of Israel. What about the missionary work that has gone throughout the world? Great Britain is the one that started that. I mean, they sent the missionaries to China, to India, to Africa. Livingston, a man that went to Africa. And the U.S. has followed suit as well. And I believe, brethren, that up until this time, this is why God has so blessed America and England. Up until this point, I'm saying, when we have been very positive towards God's people, we have spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. Stood up as a man's heart. I'll go as far as the bear, and then I'm going to quit. When you think of a bear, what do you think of today? For a nation, without hesitation, you think of Russia, don't you? All right, and you know that the symbol of Russia is the bear. You remember Brother Campbell had that vision of when it was soon after the demise of the Soviet Empire. He saw a vision, he saw the tundra, and he said that saw the tundra began to rise up and move, and what it was a big old bear that had been asleep, and he began to shake himself. Well, that bear is rising up again, isn't he? And we know, I don't know how many ribs are already in the bear's mouth, but I know there's at least one rib in the bear's mouth right now, that she took over the eastern Ukraine, the Crimea. Put that rib right in her mouth. Don't tell me that she doesn't want a couple more ribs in her mouth yet, too, before it's over. The ribs in the mouth indicate that she has consumed something else and devoured it. All right, I believe that's far enough. I want to get to the leopard, and I'll just put the outline real briefly. We'll get into details later. I'm going to say the leopard is focusing mainly on Germany, and this would probably be another aspect of the Roman Empire again. But I'll give you all the detail the next time. God bless you, and thank you for your attentiveness.